associate dean for public health practice at Boston University School of Public Health. And my father, who's 90 years old, introduces me to his friends as the dean of Boston University. So I'm glad to be here. I'm going to talk a little bit today about restructuring public health in Massachusetts, because as we think about the road to accreditation, there are a number of things that we need to do in our state to help us even get ready to begin to provide the full degree of services that we need to provide for our residents, and then begin to think about the issue of accreditation. So we have to think then around what do we need to do in Massachusetts, and so here are a couple of pieces of information. Massachusetts is smaller than Kansas, we now know, but it has the Red Sox. But Massachusetts has 6 million residents. We have 351 towns and cities, and there are 351 health departments. Now that's the most important part here. We have 351 towns and cities and 351 boards of health. There is very limited coordination that happens between any of these communities, and it is a home rule state like Kansas, and there is no functional county system. So as you have in many states, a state government, you have an intermediary, some kind of jurisdictional thing going on, and then the locals. We've got the state and we've got the locals, which causes some amount of difficulty, as you might imagine, but it's Massachusetts. So actually, my presentation today should really be thought of as a region is born. Because as we think then about what becomes necessary for us to get ready for accreditation, what does it take for us to actually begin to prepare to serve the people in our community, we're beginning to really begin to understand this idea of regionalization. And it becomes important for me as I'm talking about what we're doing in our state to talk a little bit about how my own personal interests got to be where it is in regionalization, because I've now become kind of a regionalization junkie. The interest in regionalization actually started a number of years ago when I served as the public health director for Cambridge, Massachusetts, where I served for about 10 years. And a number of years ago, the bird and the mosquitoes with West Nile virus landed in Boston. Well, the CDC, as you recall at that time, said if you're within a 2-mile radius of where the bird and the mosquitoes are, then you need to consider spraying. Well, exactly 2 miles from where that bird landed in Boston, Massachusetts, were the shores of Cambridge, Massachusetts. So we had to make some very important decisions kind of based on what was happening in Boston. Boston's health department and mayor decided that they would spray. Well, what did that mean in my community, which they don't even allow spray in the community? But we had to actually make some determination of what we would do. And for the first time, several of the communities around us, 4 communities, had to decide, oh, were we going to do exactly the same thing as Boston was going to do, or were we going to do something differently? Now, remember, we don't talk to each other. We kind of live in our own little communities, and for the first time, we needed to actually kind of decide, what are we going to do? And, you know, it was because of this mosquito. So we decided that we would spray. I'm glad to say I still am alive as a result of that. But what was important is that our communities began to actually talk to each other. And we talked to each other about a number of things as we were dealing with this whole issue of dealing with West Nile virus. We were looking at how do we think about the spraying protocols, how do we share information about communications, tools that we needed to share with our population. The interest continued around regionalization and this idea of communities coming together to make some common thinking as we were then moving from our group of 4 communities to a group of 8 communities who decided that we wanted to work collaboratively to think about changing the smoking policies in the state. And working collaboratively with my colleague Kitty Jerome here, we helped to develop this very impressive collaborative that actually helped to move our state to becoming a smoke-free environment. Again, this idea of communities working together was a very important one, and this concept of regionalization was really beginning to form. It continued to form as we were dealing with the issues of anthrax and the complications that happened around that for our community. So we were dealing with matters of surveillance and monitoring, as well as a whole wide variety of communication tools that we could actually share together and learn from each other and begin to profit from each other as we work together collaboratively. The challenge of anthrax, however, presented some very interesting challenges for the state, because it then meant that there were dollars, as you recall, that came from the federal government, large numbers of dollars, for states to begin to think about emergency preparedness. The problem in Massachusetts, when you have 351 towns and cities, is how do you distribute those dollars to all of those towns? And it became very important then for us to actually find a way to both encourage collaboration as well as to distribute a very large amount of dollars across the state. So the state, for the first time, actually divided itself into seven regions. And these were seven regions that were that allowed the people in those communities to come together to do some very important things, to do some planning, to do some sharing of their resources, to be able to move dollars around. Some of those regions further subdivided because some of them were actually fairly large, but essentially there were seven regions that were created as a result of 9/11 and all of the dollars that came forth. And this was really the beginning of some informal regionalization in Massachusetts. The purpose of these coalitions or these regions then were to facilitate some planning, to allow for dollars to actually move around, as to provide for some operational responses for delivering public health services. We saw a number of very important things that could happen as a result of regionalization. As an example, were flu clinics. Now, picture this. Prior to doing any of this work, people would come to my city because we had flu vaccine. We would give them the flu vaccine in Cambridge because you wouldn't want to get your flu vaccine from a different community because they might not have the same flu vaccine. I trust that there's nobody here from Massachusetts. But the deal is this. We did it all locally. Everything happened locally. Nothing happened outside of the communities. But what we discovered with the shortage of flu vaccine that happened a couple of years ago is that we could actually bring a number of our communities together, and we could actually provide for not only delivering the flu vaccine to folks, but also provide a better service and a more comprehensive service for our residents. This was actually a very important activity for us to do across the state in delivering these regional flu clinics. However, as we still think about public health, flu clinics are one thing, dealing with emergency preparedness is one thing. However, there's still more services that public health also has to deliver. There are all of those issues that deal with disease prevention and disease reporting and environmental health and so many other kinds of things then that we are responsible for delivering in public health. However, when you have the kind of system that we have in our community, in our state, it becomes very difficult to do this when you have each individual town that's responsible for delivering each one of these services. So it became necessary then for us to understand that we also had additional problems in doing this. One, we didn't have enough staff. Very few of our communities have sufficient staff to deliver all the services that are needed. Across Massachusetts, you may have communities, Boston on the one hand, that has a very large number of staff, more than 1,200 staff. But then we have some communities out in the western part of the state that have no staff at all, but have volunteer individuals who are responsible for delivering public health services. And the important piece here is each one of the cities and towns in Massachusetts is responsible for delivering that whole array of services. So it became important for us to then think about what else is it we need to do. We as well recognize that as we're thinking about what else to do, that there are very few dollars that are actually available for towns in doing the work that they need to do. So we began to think, well, regionalization might actually be the answer for delivering some of these public health services, not only in thinking about emergency preparedness, not only in thinking about flu clinics, but also in thinking about the full array of public health services that are actually needed for folks. So we recognize that as we think about regionalization, that there are some benefits. One, that it can increase capacity, that you can combine your resources and expertises, and more importantly, as we think about public health, that it can ensure for us delivery of public health services across the whole state, across for all of our residents. So with the help of Robert Wood Johnson and NACHO, we have been able to fund a project that begins to help us to think about regionalization, taking it one step further than we'd already done with our seven regions, and thinking about what is it that we can do to actually formalize regions in Massachusetts, developing smaller clusters that are able to deliver the comprehensive set of services. The work of the group then that is doing this project then recognizes that, one, we want to form clusters of communities in a number of different ways to deliver public health services. And secondly, that we want to formally connect our Department of Public Health with the state, with the local health departments. The relationship between the state health department and the local health department, we have a wonderful state health department. We have a wonderful new health director. We have a wonderful new governor. We have the Red Sox. And it becomes also important then for us to recognize how we connect the Department of Public Health in a very good way with the locals. In doing this project, there are a number of very important principles that became very important. Now, you can imagine in a state where Paul Revere was one of the first health officers in the state, where the Boston Tea Party exists, that there are some things that are just, you know, they just hold as they are. And so it becomes very important for us to establish some principles. Number one, that local legal authority has to be maintained. Irrespective of what we do, local legal authority has to be maintained. Secondly, that communities need an incentive in order to think about regionalization. It's not enough to just say, you need to do this and we're going to hold a stick out to you. There has to be an incentive for communities to actually want to do this. We recognize also that one size doesn't fit all, that there was no way that we could actually set up one system and decide that they was going to be applied all across Massachusetts, that the systems that are going to be set up across the state have to apply to the particular set of communities that are involved. It becomes important that there are dollars that are there to actually support the work, that it would make no sense for us to say, we want to do this regionalization thing and provide no additional dollars, as well as it becomes very important for us to understand and to help our workforce understand that this project is not about replacing the existing workforce, it's about increasing the workforce. So, what are the elements of our particular initiative? The first is that we want to make certain that all of our, now I don't know if that represents the 10 essential services, I'm not quite really certain what that represents, but I liked it. So that's really all that really matters here. So, but we want to make certain that all of our residents in Massachusetts are covered by the 10 essential services. We want to make certain that we are establishing standards for local and regional public health. We want to ensure that there are sufficient dollars to sustain the project. It's not good enough to decide we want to start something and then not have the dollars to continue it. We want to ensure that there are trainings that are provided for the workforce. And lastly, we want to ensure that there are governance resources and structures that address the particular kind of settings. So in this particular model, what we're setting up in Massachusetts is the opportunity for communities to blend together in a voluntary kind of way to meet these particular kinds of standards. Where we are in our project now is that we have written a concept paper. We have delivered that paper to about 22 communities across, 22 settings across the state. We are now moving into the MOTB section of our project, the meat on the bones, where we are now getting clarity working with our colleague Patrick Burnett from Florida. We are now getting clarity on what are the legal and legislative structures that need to be put in place, getting clarity on how much this will actually cost, who's going to pay, getting clarity on the kind of organizational design, getting clarity on a number of pieces that will help us to move this particular initiative forward. Now, is it over? Is it done? No, there are still a number of challenges. And clearly, one of the big challenges has to do with the matter of leadership. To do a project like this requires that we have leadership across a number of different spectrum. And it involves in the not only the public health community, but the legislative community from a number of different places. And we are actually getting some of that, but we still have momentum to actually develop. I see my colleague Charlotte Stepanian in the back, and Charlotte sits with us on our group and will know very well that it becomes very important for us to continue to develop leadership. It also is important that we develop trust. The idea of shifting where people are to something that we would like them to be is no easy thing, and that trust becomes a very important dynamic of keeping this project moving forward. And as we think of moving forward is the whole issue of momentum. And perhaps one of the biggest challenges that we have with this project is, on the one hand, we do have people in our state government and our legislature who are saying, this is a good thing, we want you to move forward, but we want you to do it right now. Get us the answer today. On the other hand, we have our colleagues who are in the local health departments and in the municipal governments who are saying, you're moving too fast. So how we actually do both of those things at the same time becomes a real challenge for us. This is a work in progress, so I just encourage you to stay tuned. We will come back and tell you more.